This is Steve Kraske. This year marks the 20th anniversary of KCUR's Up to Date. 20 years is a long time to host and produce a daily talk show, and our team couldn't do it without KCUR's strong listener support. As a nonprofit news station, KCUR relies on individual donations to make this show. I hope you'll join me in celebrating 20 years of Up to Date by donating today at kcur.org/support. Welcome to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Well, the long investigation into former KCK police detective Roger Golubsky reached a milestone moment yesterday when the FBI arrested him at his Edwardsville home. Golubsky, who was 69, was indicted on 6 federal counts of sexual assault, kidnapping, and attempted kidnapping. This comes after women had complained that Golubsky had terrorized them for years, sexually assaulting them in exchange for leniency in cases involving the women's relatives. Here to talk about this important case are two KCUR reporters who have worked this story for months. They are Peggy Lowe, who's an investigative reporter here. She's wrapping up a podcast series on the Golubsky case. Peggy, good to have you. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve.
Also here is Steve Vockrott, who's with NPR's Midwest Newsroom. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Steve, you were in the courtroom yesterday for Golubsky's initial appearance. Tell us about it.
So he came up before a judge, a federal judge in Topeka, which was interesting. And they brought him in handcuffs and ankle restraints. He was wearing the same dark blue shirt and light blue shorts that he was arrested in outside his home in Edwardsville. And he didn't say much during the hearing. He did not get the opportunity to bond out. The judge ordered him to stay in jail over the weekend. And one of the big points of contention right now is whether he is healthy enough to stay in prison while he awaits trial. The government wants him to remain there. They did not say why. His attorney says that he has significant health problems, including the need for dialysis about every other day. And they're going to have a hearing on Monday to sort all that out about whether he will remain there until his trial. Golubsky himself said very little. He entered a plea of not guilty, and that's where things stand right now.
You know, Peggy, some folks might wonder why it took so long to bring Roger Golubsky to justice. We've been reading, we've been hearing about him on KCUR for months. What do we know about that part of this case?
So the FBI has been investigating, and there's been this federal grand jury going on at least since 2019, because we obtained subpoenas that showed that that's true. You know, the feds always take a long time to build these cases, but this one did take a particularly long time. Some are suggesting that perhaps that's because of the pandemic, that they couldn't get that grand jury in the room together. So that's part of the reason. But certainly, too, I mean, the FBI knew of Golubsky's behavior back in the 90s and did nothing. You know, they were looking at all the other multiple civil rights violations, and nothing came of that either, because we have those documents that prove that, too. But to your question, you know, why did this take so long? Because most people in law enforcement and KCK looked the other way when it came to Golubsky's behavior.
You know, Steve Vockrott, you've covered cases like this for years. How much was what Peggy just said a part of this story, this notion that KCK police were looking the other way, weren't cooperating in this ongoing investigation?
Well, one of the things that me and Peggy and Dan Margulies have tried to do in our coverage of Golubsky is try to see the bigger picture of law enforcement in Kansas City, Kansas, over a long period of time. And one of the things that we discovered based on interviews, research, and public records is that there's been suspicion and scrutiny of the behavior of law enforcement, specifically the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department, going back decades. There have been investigations into violations of civil rights, use of excessive force, conditions at the jail, and things like that. And to be clear, there have been some officers over the years who've been brought to account for certain things over this period. But we've tried to identify what is, you know, is Roger Golubsky a symptom of a larger problem that exists within that institution. And I think it's fair to say that That's been a troubled police department over a number of years.
Peggy, you began your story on the arrest of Roger Golubsky yesterday by talking about the reaction of a woman named Ophelia Williams. Who is Ophelia Williams and what did she say? How did she react to this news?
So I talked to a lot of the victims yesterday. And one of the things I did last night was I went to a kind of like a happy hour, a little gathering at this Strawberry Hill bar in KCK. And Ophelia Williams was there. She is one of the two women named in this indictment. She's just OW within the indictment. And if I might just say, as an aside, it's remarkable that there's only two women named in this indictment because we've heard dozens and dozens of stories. So that's pretty remarkable. But anyway, Ophelia talked to us. She's now 60 years old. She first ran into Golubsky in the late 90s when her kids got into some trouble. And then he started raping her for years up through like 2002. And nobody did anything.
With the alleged idea here that if she didn't cooperate with those acts, that worse things would befall her own children.
Absolutely. And the promise that he could help. He said, I know the district attorney. I'll help you out. I'll get you a lawyer, whatever. And so she was, you know, thought, it's my kids.
You know, this part of your story was really tough to read because Ophelia Williams was saying that no one, she feared, was listening to her story and the stories of other black women in Kansas City, Kansas, who wanted to talk about Roger Golubsky.
That's absolutely right. You know, and I talked to a bunch yesterday who said they're very happy that he's been arrested. They're very happy that this indictment came down. That said, there's still so many other victims. And what are going to happen to them, you know? And then there's even the question of his police work. You know, this all came to light because of the Lamont McIntyre trial. You know, he was exonerated, and it was in part because of the sloppy police work of Roger Golubsky. You know, so Lamont was a victim. There's many people in that case who are victims. And they're like, when are we going to get the accountability that we would like to have?
So are you suggesting that other cases that Roger Golubsky investigated might be somewhat in jeopardy now, given his shaky record as a police investigator?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one that Steve and Dan and I talk about all the time. In other jurisdictions, when such a flagrant, you know, kind of corrupt allegations come up, they typically will, you know, set a panel aside to look at all the cases that cop or that prosecutor had a hand in. That hasn't happened in KCK.
But you wonder if it might not down the road.
I wonder if it might not. It absolutely should, but I don't know that there's the political power there to do it.
Steve Golubsky was indicted on 6 counts of depriving Ophelia Williams and other women of their civil rights through rape, sexual assault, and kidnapping. Maybe it's just me, but I've never heard of this depriving people of their civil rights in connection with crimes like this. Is there any significance to that terminology?
Not that I know of particularly. I don't have a great insight into the federal prosecutor's strategy in this case. I think it's one way to bring a case like this. I will say, though, that the potential penalties if he's found guilty at trial are significant. He could face the rest of his life in prison if a jury concludes that he did commit these crimes beyond a reasonable doubt.
You know, Peggy, to be clear about one point here, Golubsky has been off the KCK force for what, at least a decade now?
He retired in 2010.
In 2010. What is the police department saying about this arrest and this idea that corruption was systemic, at least back in Golubsky's days, and who knows how that continues forward?
Well, when we asked, the public information officer is very cranky about this, I'll just say. And they like to say that nobody is left from his time in the police force and that the bad apples essentially have been removed. That's a paraphrase. Also, you've talked to the new police chief, Carl Oakman, as well as the new mayor, Tyrone Garner. And those two are also so uncomfortable with this question. And they say they're going to create things like a cold case unit or a conviction integrity unit. And we just haven't seen that. You know, so what do you do? The same with Mark Dupree, the district attorney. For the first time ever, the top three officials in KCK are black. And so will something finally happen? We don't know.
You know, Steve, just quickly, what happens next in this case?
Well, there's going to be the hearing I mentioned
on Monday
about, you know, if and how long Galupski will remain in incarceration. There's going to be another hearing in his case in October. These cases are complicated. It stands a chance of taking a long time. So I don't know that we should expect a resolution to this quickly.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Well, that's KCUR Steve Vakrad with the NPR's Midwest Newsroom. Peggy Lowe, an investigative reporter here. Thank you both for your reporting and your time here today. Much appreciated. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.